Today's message starts with Jess A. bringing the reading from Matthew 7, 24 to 29, followed by the message brought to us by Tim Clark, and his message from the All series is entitled All Commands. Let us listen to Jess, followed by Tim.
If you have your Bibles, you can follow along, Matthew 7, 24 to 29.
Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fail. It did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law.
So this picture here, this is actually taken last Friday at Sippy Downs. We had a nasty storm come in last Friday, and Karen and I were here working. By the way, Auxiliary Lieutenant, not Captain Karen. Thanks for the promotion, Kay. But Auxiliary Lieutenants we are. Still learning, finding our feet. Big storm came in, and Karen said, oh, we need to go home. There's a big storm coming. And I said, oh, no, I've got to finish this. She went down and got the car and brought it up. And we drove home, and the rains came down and the streams came up and the winds beat against the car. And I've got to tell you, a little bit worried. You couldn't see the car in front of you. There was cars pulled over to the side of the road. And just on Sugarbag Road here, it was all happening. And then Karen leant over to me and said, would you mind getting my glasses out of my bag? Well, I have not done an action quicker than get Karen's glasses out of the bag and give them to her. And to be honest, I wasn't sure we were going to make it. But we did. We made it. I was a bit scared. Karen's a great driver, but the conditions were very perilous. But what do you do when the conditions are perilous? What do you do? Who do you put your trust in? Now, in this story that Jess read from us, there are two halves to it. But there is the same line in the middle there. You can see it's highlighted. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Because storms come. It's a fact. No matter who you are or what you're doing or where you are, physical storms and storms of life will come against you. And it depends on where your foundations are, how that will turn out for you. So this is taken from the BBC website. A couple of years ago, a whole village fell into the sea because their foundations weren't very firm. Now, when Jesus told this story, it's a metaphor, yes, for life, but he was also a builder. He was a practical guy. So he would have known all about foundations. And in one of the commentaries, it suggests that there are areas of Palestine where Jesus grew up, where some people who may not have been so wise, let's say, keep with the theme, built their houses in gullies or in sandy areas during the summer. No, they built it during the winter, because in summer, that's when the rains came in the northern hemisphere. So they would come through and they'd wash their houses away. So people would have understood exactly what Jesus was talking about. And so the question I want to ask you today is, where are your foundations? Are they based on a solid rock, or are they based on sand? Because we all build our life on something. Maybe it's our reputation. Maybe it's our position. Maybe it's our relationships with our family and friends, and there's nothing wrong with that. You need relationships. But is that sufficient to build your life on? All those good things. And some people build their life on things that generally the world wouldn't consider would be so good. And then when struggles come, when storms come, as they will, because we all know that, there is nothing to hold on to. There is no foundation. And the whole house comes tumbling down. All commands. So we are going through Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20. Then Jesus came and said to them, all authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. And James explained that to us. And posed the question, If Jesus has all authority on earth, if this is true, on heaven and earth, have we submitted to that authority? Is he Lord of our lives? And then last, I spoke about the fact that Jesus asked us to go and make disciples of all nations, that fact that everybody is included. Jesus wants everyone to be a follower of his. Last week, James spoke about baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, which is very timely because we had a baptism yesterday. We had Juanita and Glennis baptized in the River Karramundi Lake. Well, the Karramundi Lake. And it was a lovely time, a very spiritual time, very spirit-filled time, as we participated in that ceremony, the symbol of the unity of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit expressing their love to us and wanting us to be included in their family. And today, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Now, have you ever been taught something? Have you been to school? Great. Might have been a little while ago, but you've been to school. Have you learnt anything recently? Have you learnt anything today? Hopefully you have. Now, the quality of teachers varies. There's a few teachers in the room. Do you agree with that, Mr. Hughes? Oh, careful. Yeah, the quality. Now, I had a teacher. Mr. Hughes is an excellent teacher. But I had a teacher when I was in year 12 who shall remain nameless, who wasn't so good. And we had to write an essay. Admittedly, it wasn't a very good essay. But what he did was to belittle the class was he got the essays out, and one by one, before he handed them back, he read through parts that he thought was humorous, that gave him a great chuckle, but made everyone else not want to learn, which is not a good way to be a good teacher. I do have not those particular examples, but some examples of things people have written in essays. She had a deep, throaty, genuine laugh, like the sound a dog makes just before it throws up. The ballerina rose gracefully, end point, and extended one slender leg behind her, like a dog at a fire hydrant. He was as lame as a duck, not the metaphorical lame duck either, but a real duck that was actually lame, maybe from stepping on a landmine or something. I don't know what that guy was reading. I'll skip down to the bottom. The revelation that his marriage of 30 years had disintegrated because of his wife's infidelity came as a rude shock, like a surcharge at a formerly surcharge-free ATM. But as funny as they are, and it's because we don't know who they are, but that situation made me not want to learn from that person. And I disconnected. I'm sure half the class felt the same. But when Jesus taught, he didn't teach like that. He didn't teach to belittle people or make fun of people. He taught to encourage them and lift them up. And he didn't just teach, as we read in the Sermon on the Mount from Matthew 5, 6 and 7, but then he showed, he did. And Matthew 8, 9 and 10 were Jesus' deeds that followed straight on from his teaching. He didn't just talk the talk, he walked the walk. And that's what Jesus wants us to do when we teach others to obey everything he commanded. He doesn't want us just to be up here pointing the finger at people. He wants us to be, even though that's what I just did, Kim, that's true. He wants us to be walking beside them, walking with them, not just talking the talk, but walking the walk. Is that exactly how he taught? Now, there's a couple of other key words there. Obey everything I have commanded you. I'm going to skip obey. I'm going to come back to that. Because when you hear obey, when some people hear obey, they get their back up. What do you mean I've got to obey? Sometimes there's a bit of a rebellious thing in us. Who do you think you are telling me to do this or that? But it's not me it's telling you this. Let's go to everything I've commanded you. There we go. Now, there are a lot of commands in the Bible. There's 631 commands in the Old Testament. And then for good measure, there's about 1,000 in the New Testament. So did Jesus mean you just do all the do's and don't do the don'ts? I think that's right. Then everything will be right. Get a tick sheet out every day. Yes, done that, didn't do that. Yes, done that. Excellent. I've done everything I need to do. Well, he didn't mean that at all. But he did say that the commandments were important. And it says in Matthew 5 and the Sermon on the Mount, "Don't suppose for a minute that I've come to demolish the scriptures, either God's law or the prophets. I'm not here to demolish, but to complete, to fulfill them." And when we read all the commandments in the Old Testament, some of them which are a little bit crazy and hard to understand, when we rethink them through the fact that Jesus came to show us what God was like and show us the true meaning behind these commandments and to complete them and to fulfill them in his life and in his death and in his resurrection, then they can make a whole lot more sense. As he said, "I'm going to pull it all together in a vast panorama. God's law is more real and lasting than the stars in the sky and the ground at your feet. Long after the stars burn out and the earth wears out, God's law will be alive and working." So don't even trivialize the smallest item in God's law. You will only have trivialized yourself. But take it seriously. Show the way for others. Teach others, and you will find honor in the kingdom. Unless you do far better than the Pharisees in the matters of right living, you won't know the first thing about entering the kingdom. And that's the problem with the Pharisees, people. And that can be our problem too, if we want to be rule keepers, for keeping the rules rather than people who have a heart attitude before the commandments. See, the Pharisees, they copped a lot of criticism from Jesus because they were flicking tickers. For example, in Matthew 23, he says, "What sorrow awaits you, teachers of religious law and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are careful to tithe even the tiniest income from your herb garden, but you ignore the more important aspects of the law, justice, mercy, and faith." You should tithe, yes, but do not neglect the more important things, because it's the heart attitude, it's the relationship behind the law and the commands that Jesus wants us to follow. Not be worried about the little things, should I do this or don't do that, or, you know, but the heart attitude behind it. And so he unpacks some of the laws that we've heard, some of the Ten Commandments, which are good rules to live by, and then he increases the standard because he wants to ask the question, what is the reason behind this law? You're familiar with the command to the ancients, "Do not murder." I'm telling you that anyone who is, but, he says, "I'm telling you that anyone who is so much as angry with a brother or sister is guilty of murder." And hopefully everybody went, because who hasn't been angry? And then Jesus equates anger with murder. That's a hard level to reach, isn't it? And he goes on to say, "You know the next commandment pretty well too. Don't go to bed with another spouse, but don't think you've preserved your virtue simply by staying out of bed. Your heart can be corrupted by lust even quicker than your body. Those leering looks you think nobody notices, they also corrupt." And some people go, Here's another old saying that deserves a second look. Eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth. That's fair enough. But is that going to get us anywhere, says Jesus? Here's what I propose. Don't hit back at all. If someone strikes you, stand there and take it. Revolutionary even today. Because we just want to get our own back. We want justice. But Jesus says, no. Don't hit back at all. And you're familiar with the old written law, love your friend and its unwritten companion, hate your enemy. I'm telling you to love your enemies. Again, in this day and age, so hard, always hard, to have a hard attitude that Jesus wants, that goes behind the commandments and lifts them up and asks, where's your heart? Where's your heart in relation to these things that God calls us to? And we can't do this by ourselves. None of these things are possible in our human selves. We can only do that with the help of Jesus as our rock and our foundation. As he says, "I'm not here to demolish, but to complete, to make these things full. And I want you to teach others to obey my commandments, to show the way for others." Therefore, back to our main verse. "Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundations on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who builds his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Hears these words of mine and puts them into practice. Hears these words of mine and puts them into practice. If you've ever lived in a house with a teenager and you've walked past their room, you may notice, except if you have an exceptional teenager, that the room is often untidy. And have you ever said to them, tidy your room? Tidy your room. This is a mess. What do you think this is? Tidy your room. And then have you ever come back hours later? Maybe you've been gracious and given them a couple of days and looked in and saw exactly the same situation as when you left it. And maybe, like me, you've said to that teenager, did you not hear what I said to you? And their reply is, yeah, I heard. But there's a big difference between hearing and putting something into practice. And there is a word that combines these two things together, hearing and putting them into practice. And that word is obey. It's fine to hear about the words of God, but to put them into practice, it's only when we put these into practice that the rock that becomes the foundation. Now, you'd be interested to know that in the Old Testament, there is no word for obey. Now, if you open up your Bibles and you have a look, you will see the word obey there in English, but there is no Hebrew word for obey. The word that they translate as obey is shema, which means hear. But it doesn't just mean hear, because when we think hear, we think, okay, I've heard you, I'm going to think about it for a while, I'm going to evaluate it, I'm going to weigh it up, and if I think that it's okay, then maybe I'll do something about it. A bit like a teenager cleaning up their room. But when the Israelites heard Shema, they knew that meant hark, listen, obey, do this thing. And there's some verses from Deuteronomy, and you'll know them, that are called Shema Yisrael. And Jews say this in the morning and they say it at night, even today. And when Jesus was asked which was the greatest commandment, he told them, Shema Israel, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. It's a heart attitude. Obedience is a heart attitude to God's response to us, our response to God's love for us. We respond in obedience to God's love for us. We respond in love. And we are to love the Lord our God, hear and obey with every part of us, all our heart, all our soul, all our strength, holding nothing back. And then when there is a particular commandment that doesn't seem to make any sense, when we look it through the light of Jesus' love for us, then we can obey it. We can obey what he has to say. Because in the end, everything that he asks of us is from his love for us. A love so much that he died for us. Came into the world to show us what God's love was like. Taught the disciples who modeled it for generations to come and asked us to continue to model that teaching, to obey all of his commandments. And then when Jesus had finished his time, died. And took the sin of the world for us. And our response says in John there, if you love me, keep my commands. Our response to God's love is to love him back. And how do we show our love for him? If you love me, show it by doing what I've told you. That's our response to that, to God's love for us. So I'm going to finish with this, so if the musicians want to come up. But I just want to ask today, this story is about that Jesus told when he summed up all his teaching on the Sermon on the Mount. It starts off with Jesus sat down and taught the people. And at the end, it says in Matthew chapter 7, that last little bit there, which we've read a few times today. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it has its had its foundation on the rock. But the person who heard and did not put them into practice, when the rains came, their house fell with a great crash. So where are your foundations today? What are you putting your faith in? What are you putting your trust in? Is it the things of the world? Is it the thing that the world says are important? Security. I mean, it's good to have security, but sooner or later, the share market's going to fall. And if that's what you're trusting in to keep you going, it's going to come down with a crash. Your family. Oh, it's so good to have family that are supportive. But what if they're not? What if your entire trust is in your family? And then one day, for some reason, they're not there anymore. If that is your foundation, when the storms of life come, there will be a crash. And as I said before, there's so many things that the world has to offer that we put our trust in. So many things that aren't necessarily as worthy as family. So many temptations, so many addictions, so many habits that we can fall upon and fall back into and have a foundation of sand instead of a foundation of rock. So as we sing these words today, in Christ alone, my hope is found. He is the only firm foundation for our lives. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace. When fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. And if you find that you look at those words and you can't sing them because you can't say that your foundation is in Christ, then your foundation is on sand. And I have to tell you, friends, that that is no foundation for life. And I see a lot of wise people out there and they've been through some stuff. And you'll know that this is true. You know that if your foundation is not found on the Eternal One, that when life's storms come, disaster awaits you. As we sing this song, if you want to come out and pray about anything that I've spoken about today or anything that I haven't spoken about today, maybe you're facing a storm of life right now and you need some encouragement or prayer, come and pray. Come and stand, come and kneel, someone will pray with you. Maybe you want to renew and just confirm that Christ is your foundation. Your life is built on Him and you want to come out and do that. Or maybe just in your seat, you want to bow your head quietly and just commit your life again or renew that covenant or just affirm, yes, Jesus, you are my cornerstone. However the Holy Spirit speaks to you just now as we sing this song, however you want to respond, respond. But whatever you do, don't not respond. Whatever you do, don't just sit there and think, whatever. Because that is a foundation of sand and there is no future in that. Let's sing this together.
Thank you for listening today. If you would like to know more, our services are on Sunday mornings at the Caloundra Salvos, 119 Sugarbag Road, Little Mountain, at 10 o'clock. Thank you.